the roster could expand a bit, and we could see some guys playing for the Tribe that played for the Columbus Clippers last night. And speaking of those Clippers, we return to the hotline to bring in Ryan Mitchell, the voice of the Columbus Clippers. Ryan, a pleasure as always, my friend. How are you today?
I am doing well. It's a great day here on the banks of the Ohio River down in Louisville, Kentucky, looking out over the playing surface here as the teams get ready for the game tonight. The Clippers have not scored a run so far in the first two games. It's tough to win baseball games that way, but they're going to try and right that ship tonight.
Yeah, and saw last night, you know, the starting lineup with a great deal of intrigue. Unfortunately, as you mentioned, no runs were scored for the Clippers. They fell 6-0. But there are a lot of guys I want to ask you about that participated in last night's contest. I want to begin with the pitcher, Scott Moss, who through the first four innings looked really good. No runs, seven strikeouts, and then he was yanked in the fourth inning. Your thoughts on his performance last night?
Well, he actually made it through 4 2/3, so he was almost through the fifth inning, and there was one crucial time in the game. You started to see a little bit in the fourth. His command was going away from him slightly. He was throwing just a ton of strikes. He had 9 strikeouts on the game, one shy of his season high, which he had done in Double-A, coincidentally pitching for the Reds Double-A team against a lot of his former teammates. But then in the fourth inning, the command started to wane a little bit. He got 2 outs in the fifth and was facing the 9 hitter in the batting order, Alfredo Rodriguez, and got ahead in the count. Rodriguez battled it back to full and then fouled off 4 straight 3-2 pitches before working a walk. That extended the inning, and you could see that it had a cumulative effect on Moss. He was not able to kind of rein it in after that. A couple of base hits happened, and next thing you know, he's out of the game. 2 runs are in, which on paper, and certainly when you look at this Clippers roster, should not be an insurmountable disadvantage, but they didn't score the entire game. So that was enough for the bats to get the win. And Moss has been an interesting character. He's a tall left-hander. He's got, you know, 93-mile-an-hour fastball-type stuff, but good secondary pitches, really. And he seems to have a good feel for how to pitch for a guy that doesn't have much AAA time even. But you can see down the road, this is a guy that's going to provide some value, not just a throw-in piece in that three-team deal, certainly coming over from the Reds. And he's going to be an interesting pitcher to watch. Now, whether or not that's at the end of this year or next year getting to the major leagues, who knows? He does have some work to do. But yesterday's outing looked pretty good, came apart rather quickly, and even with that, still had a pretty good outing. 4 2/3 doesn't qualify for the win, but just 2 runs over that time and the 9 strikeouts against 2 walks, pretty good.
Do you think he projects more as a starter than a reliever? I know we're still kind of early in this stage here too, but it seems like he's done mostly start over his minor league career. You think he projects in the big leagues as more of a starter than a reliever?
Well, he's right now using 3 different pitches, and if you can do that and command them all, 3 is enough to be a starter, I think. Not everybody has to be a Trevor Bauer or a Daisuke Matsuzaka who throws 8-9 different pitches. I mean, catchers only have so many fingers, so they can only show you so many signs. But I think the ideal for him would be to stay as a starter. The Cleveland Indians, of course, coming into this year, had tremendous depth at starting pitching, but we know what happens there. You can never have too many quality starting pitchers at the major league level and then the holding pen here in AAA as well. So I think keeping him as a starter would probably be ideal. If you do not have left-handers in your bullpen, then maybe you look to kind of look down the road a little bit and see maybe we could use this guy in this role as we look at our roster construction. But for right now, I think he's still young enough where I don't think you want to go giving up on him as a starter quite yet.
Ryan Mitchell with the Columbus Clippers joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. We've been trying to put the Bradley Zimmer puzzle together for a long time now, but it just seems like, yeah, these pieces just do not want to fit. He's been on the comeback trail for what feels like 5 or 6 years. How did he look leading off of the Clippers last night?
Well, I think he and Cody Anderson are on a joint ticket running for the mayor of Goodyear, Arizona. They have been out there for a long, long time together, and it's just unfortunate because this was obviously a guy that, when he was drafted and in his early minor league career, was talked about as a power-speed combo center fielder. You know, everybody was saying this This could be the guy we've been waiting for since Grady Sizemore. I think that's a bit much to put on a young man. And having seen him over his time in AAA firsthand, there was a lot of work to do for Bradley Zimmer before he was that type of a player at the major league level. Now, obviously, a shoulder injury is no easy thing to come back from. If you remember the outfielder Trevor Crow, one of his real tools, and he could run, he could play all three outfield positions. When he came up, one of his real strong tools was his throwing arm, and he went through a shoulder injury and was never the same. And hopefully for Bradley Zimmer, that's not the case. Now, obviously, throwing is not his forte. He's out there to run it down, get it back to the infield in a timely fashion, and then hit the ball to the gaps, over the wall, and run crazy on the bases. So hopefully the shoulder will not impact that, although it can certainly impact your swing. It took him a long time to get healthy because other things kept cropping up in setbacks for that shoulder injury. And in a lot of ways, there's no predicting that. There's no way to maybe prevent some of those types of things. So it's just a confluence of events for Zimmer where he's been away from the field. It's been kind of a lost season for him in terms of development because this kid still does have development to do. Bradley Zimmer now is 26 years of age, so his timeline is starting to shrink up a little bit, but I think the Indians are going to give him every opportunity to get healthy, help them out come September. I don't know if it'll be September 1st or if they'll try and keep him with the Clippers for as long as their season goes. They have already qualified for the playoffs, so that's one of the things the front office will decide what's best for him and for them in the long term. But they are counting on Bradley Zimmer being a major factor at the major league level going forward.
I want to talk about another outfielder that was at the top of the order yesterday for the Clippers, Jordan Luplow. Of course, he performed really well in his second go-around with the Indians, just destroying left-handed pitching. But another injury setback kind of put him on the shelf for a little while. He hit second yesterday for the Clippers. What were your thoughts on the way he played last night?
Well, there really wasn't enough data to gather to make any kind of assertion. The Clippers' batting practice on the field was cut short because it started to rain, and then he hit into a double play on the very first pitch he saw in his first at-bat and made an out the second time as well and didn't have any chances in the outfield. So there really isn't a lot to go on for Luplow, but you know, clearly, as you said, this is a guy who fills a very specific role for the Cleveland Indians and was filling it quite well since coming back to the major league. So that's the kind of a guy, and if the Indians make it to the playoffs, those pieces in those particular matchup situations often find their way into those spotlight moments. And you need a guy who is comfortable in those positions. Luplow certainly isn't a long-tenured major leaguer with a lot of time under his belt to call back on, but he's done the job very well to this point. And as soon as he's healthy, I'm sure that the Indians will have him back on their roster and filling that role at that time. Just an unfortunate timing for his injury, certainly. He was hustling into third base and just had that tweak of the hamstring. So those hamstrings can be a pesky type of injury. They can re-flare at any time. So you really want to make sure that you take your time with it to make sure that it's as completely healed as can be before you get back to 100% game action.
Well, a name that we hadn't heard in quite some time, a guy that was a pleasant surprise filling a gap in that injury-riddled starting rotation earlier this season, Yeffrey Rodriguez, who, of course, came over from the Nationals in that Yan Gomes deal in the offseason. He came out of the pen for the Clippers last night, and correct me if I'm wrong, I believe he was in there for just over an inning in the third, and an inning maybe two-thirds as well. Your thoughts on the way he performed in relief last night?
He didn't look great, honestly. He threw an inning and two-thirds. Now, he gave up a run on a hit. He struck out a batter, but he walked two, and he threw more balls than strikes. So he still obviously is in work in progress trying to get himself back. The Cleveland Indians, again, would love to have this guy if he is right. His numbers aren't great this year at AAA or at the major league level, but you can see that there is some high-ceiling stuff, and the Indians are not expecting him to stretch out to be a starter again. They would like to have him as an option as a multi-inning reliever for the stretch run, and then, you know, who knows, you see what happens in the playoffs, how he is performing comparatively to the other relief arms that are there. So don't count on him in the starting rotation for the Cleveland Indians for the remainder of the season. But if he can be effective, he can certainly be a factor, but he's going to have to refine that command because it was not on display last night.
want to check in on a few other guys as well. Jake Bowers was kind of one of the odd men out when the deal was made about a month ago involving Trevor Bauer and, of course, five bodies coming back in return. Bowers seemed to really kind of take to it and hit very well as soon as he was sent down to Columbus. How has he progressed in the month that he's been down there?
Well, the first week was really good. It's cooled off considerably since then. The batting average is not great for Jake right now. He's hitting .247 in 22 games, five doubles, three homers. Actually came out of the game last night after a swing. I put it on Twitter that hopefully it's not another Jose Ramirez-type situation. But with Ramirez now out 5 to 7 weeks, and I'm not going to speculate and say that's what it is, but a lot of times guys are injuring themselves on swings because players are holding the bat down as far as they can to get as much leverage with their swings, and that knob of the bat really digs into the bottom of the bottom hand, and sometimes that's what causes those handmade injuries. Hopefully that's not the situation for Jake Bowers. I have no idea what the injury is. I haven't talked to the training staff today to see exactly what the situation is, but Bowers is not in the lineup today. We'll have to wait and see what the verdict is on that, but he's played well in the outfield. He's played well at first base. He's come through in some big situations for the Clippers in terms of, you know, RBI opportunities. I would not say that he has dominated AAA pitching to this point. That would not be fair to say. The numbers don't bear that out. But you can clearly see, and this is Jake Bauer, still a very young player. He's 23 years of age, won't be 24 until October. And, of course, he is hoping that in October, he'll be back with the Cleveland Indians playing in a playoff push and celebrating his 24th birthday that way. But there's a lot to like about this young man. And, you know, he didn't have a lot of major league time coming into the season. And you saw it up there. He was pretty streaky. He hit 11 home runs for the Cleveland Indians. As he grows and develops, hopefully some of that streakiness will go away and you'll see more of the consistent performance that you know he's capable of.
Two other guys I want to hit on before we cut you loose here. Guys I know we've checked in on before, just want to see where they are at. And both Bobby Bradley, who of course had the cup of coffee up here, looked okay at the beginning of that tenure, then was sent back down. We had a tough time hitting. And of course, Daniel Johnson, who has been hitting the ball pretty well throughout the course of the year, not only when he came to you guys, but he had been hitting the ball pretty well prior to that in Double A Akron. How have both Johnson and Bradley progressed?
Well, it's not been good for Bobby, quite frankly. 34 games since coming back to Columbus. He was optioned down on, July 16th. He's hit .190 since then. Now, he's got seven homers, but just 13 RBIs. He's struck out in 40% of his plate appearances since that time. So he's not hit well since coming back. But again, you look at the stretch before. I mean, he forced the Indians' hand. Let's not make any mistake about that, because from May 3rd until June 21st, right? So about a month and a half, he hit .310 with 21 home runs and 44 runs batted in 43 games. Okay, so that's a homer every other game, an RBI plus every game. So he was playing like an MVP candidate. And the Cleveland Indians at the time, again, were 10 and a half games out of first place. They needed an offensive spark. And Bobby Bradley really forced their hand. They couldn't keep him down here logically. But I guess emotionally, they couldn't keep him down here. Logically, maybe they could have seen that he wasn't quite ready for major league pitching. And he got up there in the first two games. He had RBI doubles. Finally got his first major league home run at the end of the tenure. But didn't hit well for the Cleveland Indians because he still has development to do on recognizing and laying off certain pitches and certain counts and forcing the pitchers deep into counts so he can get a hitter's pitch where he can really do damage. So as that continues to develop for Bobby, he's going to be a very, very good hitter. But right now he is struggling. Johnson is not struggling. DJ has been very, very good. He's batting .314 for the Clippers over 80 games. Not a ton of power. He's got eight home runs, but he drives in a lot of runs, 43 RBIs for the Clippers. He's been hitting pretty well at clutch time as well. So this is a guy who plays all three outfield positions and does so to pretty good effect. He's in center field tonight. You know, hitting with runners in scoring position, he's batting .300, batting from the seventh inning on when it could be clutch time, he's batting well over .300. So the situation doesn't seem to get too big for him. I like that he will shorten up his swing when he gets to two strikes and try and beat the shift. Of course, he's a left-handed batter, which in 2019 means you're always going to see three defenders on the right side of the infield. And he's willing to go the other way to try and beat the shift. And that has been a boon for him. If more guys would do it, batting averages would be better. and defenses might start having to go away from the shift. So Johnson still has things to work on. I don't think he's a major league ready product right now, but I see down the road he has the ability to be a really good piece for a major league team, and I think Indians fans are going to be very happy with what they see from him.
Terrific stuff, as always. A lot of good stuff there, Ryan. We appreciate it very much. Enjoy the call tonight, and hopefully you guys don't get any interruptions from Mother Nature like you guys had yesterday, delaying batting practice. So hopefully you guys can start on time and have a good time in Louisville, my friend.
Listen, if we score a run, I'll be happy. I've had three of the last four games with no highlights for the postgame show. The Clippers have scored two runs over the last four games, so if they can put some on the board tonight, that'll be good enough for me.
Good stuff, Ryan. Thank you again for the time. We appreciate it.
All right, thanks.
That's Ryan Mitchell with the Columbus Clippers joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. A lot of great stuff there, talking about not only the guys involved in that Trevor Bauer deal, but also getting into Bradley Zimmer, Jordan Luplow, Jeffrey Rodriguez, and some of the other prospects hoping to, well, maybe scratch the surface in September. Not sure if we're going to see that, but those are some names you'll be hearing a lot about long after the season is over.